And this meeting is partly to talk about that, to talk about how we can get rid of that stigma, how we can give equality to those people who've had mental health problems, and how we can move forward. Mark Wright-Oxley, who's from The Guardian, he's an assistant editor on the international desk. He's written a book called Under the Lemon Tree, and he went through depression when he reached the age of 40, and he is going to talk about that, as well as debunking some of the myths around the whole area of mental health.
By way of a brief introduction, I'm Mark Wright-Oxley. I'm an author, I'm a father, and I'm a journalist at The Guardian, and I'm very grateful to be given the chance to speak freely to you this evening before we get a new Leveson-inspired press regulator who's going to tell me what to say and what not to say.
You're The Guardian.
I'm off message tonight. A lot of what Kevin said resonated with me. I've got my story too. I've written about it in a book. I won't go into all the details here because I think that, as I say, there are similarities, there are differences, and we've all got our thing. For me, 3 years ago, I had a horrible depressive breakdown, which sort of took me out of circulation for about at least 6 months. And, well, it was a good year before I could sort of get back to my life and start doing the things that I was doing before, my work and my family. And it was really, the most wretched thing that ever happened to me. And what made it even worse was the fact that I still feel that this is something that's so badly misunderstood. So what I wanted to do with my 10 minutes tonight was just try and debunk some of the myths that I think still persist around mental illness and depression. So, myth number one, we've all been depressed, get over it. Okay, so I want to illustrate my point here with a bit of audience participation. Can I have a show of hands, please, from anyone who at any point in their life has been a little bit sad, a bit downcast, a bit blue, a little bit depressed? Okay, a lot of hands. Now, can I have another show of hands, please, from anyone who's been diagnosed with clinical depression? Okay, there's still quite a few hands, but I think, I mean, and I've done this in other audiences where the difference between the two groups is enormous. Everyone's been a bit depressed at one point in their life, but not everyone's had depression. We've all had a cold, but we haven't all had pneumonia. And I think what I'm getting at here is that there's a real problem of terminology. We're using the same word to describe two things that are very different. Depression should be renamed. It should be called, I don't know, neurasthenia or illness horribilis or just I think the key difference is that when you're feeling a bit depressed, when you're sad, there are things you can do to get over it. But when you're in a state of clinical depression, very, very hard. This is a physical illness. It's a chemical fact. It's a breakage, and it needs time to heal. Only it's not like a broken arm, where you have a plaster, a cast, and people will maybe give up their seat for you on the train. People can't see it. And so all they can see is that you're not the person that you used to be, and that tends to get very negative reactions. So, you can't tell someone with depression to snap out of it. It'd be like telling someone with multiple sclerosis to back their ideas up. Or, you know, when people said to me, what have you got to be depressed about?
Subdivision.
When people said to me, you know, you're a happily married man with three kids and a good job, what have you got to be depressed about? That's like asking a cancer sufferer, what have you got to have a tumour for? I mean, it's the same kind of crazy question. And so that's one of the reasons that I wrote this book, was to try and explain to people that this is a medical condition and we ought to start to view it as such. Myth number two, depression is for the weak. So I'll just say that again. Depression is for the weak. Well, I think that all across the country and all around the world, yes, there are fragile people from difficult backgrounds who will be extremely vulnerable to mental illness. But there are also, as Kevin's already said, presidents, chief execs, MPs, sportsmen, rock stars, actors, you name it. There are people who suffer from depression. This illness is not picky. It hones in on anyone who exposes himself to too much stress. And stress, as we know, comes in so many different forms. It could be a short, sharp shock, like an accident, or it could be grief, it could be something as mundane perhaps as moving house or having a new baby, or stress can build up over a number of years in an insidious way so that you don't recognise it until it's too late. So no, this isn't for the weak, this is a universal condition, and the sooner we realise that, the better. Myth number three, pills are bad. Now, it always strikes me, I'm going to fall down a step in there. It always strikes me as a bit odd, our inconsistent approach to pills and medication. So we're very suspicious of things like antidepressants or sleeping pills, but we're kind of insouciant about things like slimming aids or vitamin pills, and we're positively blasé about recreational drugs. So I think that inconsistency is something that we need to address. Now, there are still big questions that we need to answer about antidepressants. The scientists don't agree. There's a deep division within science, a bit similar to the climate change division, actually, in which two ends of the spectrum just simply don't agree about how the pills work, why they take so long, why they only work in two-thirds of people, and why some pills work, why different brands work better in different people, why in some you might even get a better effect from a placebo. But, and here's the crucial but, I think it's clear that over the last 20 years that these pills have, in one way or another, helped an awful lot of people. And while that continues to be the case, you know, depression, I think, is such a destructive thing that you can be at the bottom thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through the next 5 minutes, let alone the next day, or the next week, or the next month. And if there's something out there that can buy some time for people in that situation to address what's been going on to them, to start thinking about therapy, to give them some weeks and months of clear breathing space, then I don't think we should be throwing that out. I think we should be doing more science to try and work out how they work, and we should have a much more positive attitude towards antidepressants. Myth number four. This is depression is an illness that really only affects women. Well, I think, I mean, this is a myth that should be quite easy to debunk. But, and yet the statistics say that it's still 3 to 1 or 3.5 to 1 in terms of the ratio of women to female to male sufferers. Now, in my view, that might be because men are much more reluctant to confront something that might be considered a weakness. They don't present to GPs. Blokes under 50 don't go to the doctor, really. Actually, they just kind of mask their frailties or their weaknesses by working even harder or with recreational drugs or drink, these kind of things. That tends to be my experience anyway. So that's another reason why I wrote this. I think there are a lot of books out there written by women talking about depression and mental illness, but there aren't that many by men. So I wanted to write a book that says, you know, guys, it's okay. You know, if you look in the mirror and think, something's wrong, I don't feel right, it's okay to admit that to yourself and to your friends. You need to sort of start to seek help, because it's only when you start to seek help that things really start to get better. Now, final myth, people with depression are finished. Now, I felt that at times when I was down there, but, you know, I'm speaking here today, and Kevin's here today, and Stephen Fry and Ruby Wax are still making us laugh, and Marcus Trescothick and Michael Yardie are still playing first-class cricket, and, you know, Churchill ran the country when after many of his bouts. I'd actually put it the other way round. I think the default position is that people with depression actually do get better. Mm-hmm. I think the vast majority do get better. And so, again, I wanted to write this to say to people, there is hope, you know? It's horrible. It lasts. But the general trajectory tends to be this. And at the other end, you know, again, as Kevin said, I think things can be better than ever. And this is why I want to see something done about discrimination and about negative attitudes towards people with mental health. Not only because it's a horrible thing to kick a man or a woman when they're down, but because I think the people who've come through this can be better people and better employees. Mm-hmm. You know, I've certainly felt since I've been back at work that I understand my colleagues better, that I'm a much more empathetic person, that I've got more time for frailties or the kind of things that people get up to because we're all human. And I think that does a lot for staff morale and just for kind of humanising the place. Now, I just want to finish with one last point. I got into a bit of a Twitter tangle, if that's not too awful a kind of mental image for you, with a columnist on a Sunday newspaper who wrote recently that we don't want to hear any more about depression and about celebrities going through their mental torments. We've had enough of these misery memoirs. I don't think we have. We haven't. We need, you know, as many as possible, because every time the glamorous and the famous and the and public figures like Kevin come out and tell us that it's happened to them too, it reinforces it to the whole sort of this kind of benighted community that this is just a normal part of the human condition, and it affects, you know, young and old and rich and poor, and we're all kind of in it together, to coin a rather awkward political phrase at the moment. So I think it's great that the MPs have come out this year. I think it's only by doing so that we'll continue these discussions, and it's only by discussing that we'll get a proper understanding of depression. And it's only when we get a proper understanding of depression that we'll deal with it properly.
Okay. Thank you.